The third figure is a figure whom I particularly admire, one of the most intriguing modern figures in the Buddhist tradition, a woman by the name of Aung San Suu Kyi, who is the leader of a democratic protest movement in Burma and was the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1991. And she, too, shows us the Buddhist tradition in a fascinating modern way, in a way that I think will intrigue you and challenge you to think of the Buddhist tradition in a new way. So let's start with King Ashoka, the prototype of the righteous king. When King Ashoka assumed the throne in the year 269 before the Common Era as emperor of the Maurya dynasty, he inherited a kingdom that had already been, what would be the right word, substantially expanded by his predecessors. It already dominated a large portion of India. But there was a particular kingdom that resisted domination by the Mauryas, kingdom of Kalinga. And Ashoka took it as his responsibility to bring the people of Kalinga into the empire, and he waged a very bloody and very cruel military campaign to bring the Kalinga people under his domination. The brutality of this campaign apparently provoked Ashoka to convert to Buddhism, to accept the Buddha Dharma, with its implicit ideal also of nonviolence, not merely respect and interdependence, respect for others and a sense of interdependence, but also policy of nonviolence. After his conversion, Ashoka proclaimed himself a righteous king, a Dhammaraja, or a protector of the Dharma. Now, actually, I should pause for a moment here about one funny little inconsistency in the way I'm speaking to you. We've been talking about the Buddha's teaching as being his Dharma, D-H-A-R. M-A, common word. It's a word I suspect that you knew before you began to listen to this course. And then occasionally I lapse into Pali and call it the Dhamma. This is not because my tongue has become thick and I can't somehow wrap my tongue around the words. A lot of the traditions about Ashoka are passed on in Pali, particularly this concept of the Dhammaraja. So you'll find that I use sometimes the Pali word, the Pali version of the word Dhamma, which is Dhamma, and sometimes the Sanskrit word. All of this confusion will end in our next lecture when we go back to Sanskrit and use Sanskrit for the rest of our discussion of the Indian tradition. Now, Ashoka, the Dhammaraja, advocated a policy of conquest by Dhamma or Dharma. It's called Dhamma Vijaya, conquest by Dharma. Ashoka's position was recorded, interestingly and importantly for us, really, on a series of rock edicts, that is, carvings on rocks that were placed at strategic parts around his empire, strategic locations around his empire. This is nice for us because we can still go there and read them. If they'd been written on palm leaves and distributed in marketplaces, the palm leaves would long since have moldered away. But we've actually got these Ashokan inscriptions that come to us from directly from the time of Ashoka. Rock Edict 13, by the conventional numbering, gives an account of his conversion. I'll read it to you. It's fascinating, actually, to hear in Ashoka's own words, in his imperial edict, about his conversion to Buddhism. 8 years after his coronation, King Devanampriya Priyadarshi, his way of designating himself, conquered the country of Kalinga. 150,000 people were deported, 100,000 were killed, and many times that number perished. Now that the Kalingans have been taken, Devanampriya is zealous in his study of Dharma. Devanampriya, it's a word that means simply the beloved of the gods, feels sorrow at having conquered the Kalingans. Indeed, Devanampriya wishes all beings to be safe, restrained, and even-keeled in the face of violence, for Devanampriya considers the foremost form of conquest to be Dharma conquest. This is this basic theme of conquest by the Dharma rather than conquest by force of arms.